becoming a first century church. I would hope and pray that, you would be not just doing your lessons daily, as you see the option there is to go through them on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I would hope also that you're praying throughout the week that the Lord would be using this in your life to be a blessing to you, to encourage you, and to help you grow. I know that, personally, since I've started, well, the last lesson, Following Christ and Fishing for Men, I know that the Lord has used his word, and, I can see a difference in my life. I've got a long way to go. We're nowhere close. But I hope you're further along now than you were 13 weeks ago when we started the other series. We have a great God. We have a powerful God. And all we've got to do is access that power. It's there for us. We sang the song this morning, the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. And then it talks about it came later, and then the great revivals came. And that power is still coming, and it's still available for you and I. Obviously, the only powers that wouldn't be available that we see in the book of Acts would be, of course, the signs to prove who they were, to prove that Peter was an apostle, and the sign those. But the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God's word, is the same today as it was back then. We have access to that power, and all we have to do is claim it. We've just got to pray and ask the Lord for it. Got your questions done? You had 3 weeks to do it. Let's go through those. Question number one, Monday. Read Matthew 16, 13 through 18, and list the promises Christ made concerning the church. Slip up your hand to volunteer. Kelly.
Made two promises. First, Christ built his church on the basis of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And second, that the gates of hell will not prevail
against him. Amen. Amen. That Christ would build his church based on the statement there that, Peter made, that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then that the gates of hell should not prevail against it. And the picture there, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, is as our pastor leads us and we charge the gates of hell, literally we can rip souls from the grips of hell. We can do that. We can do that. That's the picture there. The gates of hell will not hold out against us. Yeah, there's a stack of them right there. Am I out? Yes. Okay. Would you, Sam? Thank you very much. Yeah, go ahead and give that to them because they're regular attenders, Brother Moore. Thank you, Sam. Okay, Tuesday, Acts 2:41. How many people were added to the church? 3,000. Amen. And then the second part of that, what did these new members do? Ma'am? Amen. Amen. They continued daily. They continued daily in the apostles' doctrine. And that's the same doctrine that we have. That we hold in our hands here. It's the same doctrine that was delivered unto them, that was delivered to us, and that we should deliver to others. Wednesday, what important truth does Colossians 1:18 teach us about the church? What important truth? Colossians 1:18. You can read it right out of your books there if you want. If you've got the answers written there. Colossians 1:18 teaches us about the church. Excellent. The Christ is the head of the church. And secondly, in all things that, somebody finish the statement, in all things he's to have the preeminence. Amen. And Jesus Christ is the leader of this church. In all things he is to have the preeminence. Thursday, how is the church described in 1 Timothy 3:15? Now, how thou oughtst to behave in the house of God, okay? Which is the church of the living God. And then secondly, we are the church is the what? It's the pillar. Andrew? Go ahead, Andrew.
Pillar and crown.
Amen. Amen. This is where truth comes from. It doesn't come in our school systems, in our public school systems that are against God. This is where truth comes from. This is mine and your final authority of all matters of faith and practice. Here it is. If my life isn't lining up with this, and you bring this document to me and you say, Brother Ravert, your life's not lining up to this. This is it. Then I have to say that I'm wrong. And I have to change. This is it. Some people say, well, you know, my personal opinion doesn't affect my... Well, they better be one. There's only one opinion here. And if my opinion doesn't line up with this, with God's word, then my opinion is wrong. Friday, what do we find the church doing? What do we find the church doing? Acts 13:1-4. Acts 13:1-4. What do we find the church doing? Then secondly, who led this activity? What do we find the church doing? Say it again. Excellent. Send out missionaries. And they even probably did something before they sent them out. Sorry, I didn't hear it. Fasted and prayed. Excellent. They fasted and prayed and sent out missionaries. Excellent. And then the second part of that question, who led in this activity? Hey, Brother Roy. Good morning. Who led in this activity? The Holy Spirit. Amen. Very good. Then Saturday, according to Acts 1:8, the mission of the local church should be extended to where? Amen. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. Amen. Amen. Throughout the week, do these questions. Do them on Monday. Do them on Tuesday. Do them throughout the week. And God's word will be able to work in your life. God will use his word in your heart. You're raising children. Have this close. Have this in front of them. You're influencing others in your life. We need to have God's word right there. As we go into our new series, the First Century Church, my prayer would be that you would get a little more glimpse of the power of the Holy Spirit and what Jesus Christ can do for you. Let's pray before we get started. Father in heaven, we've been through the book of Acts. We've been through your word. We've seen the power that was there. We've seen it since that time mightily. Lord, that power is indeed, we believe, available to us today. Lord, might we access that power. Might we, through prayer, through Bible reading, through fastings, Lord, might we, by the end of this these lessons, have a little better idea of that power and personally so in our lives. We pray for Pastor right now as he speaks and then as he travels for safety, for power on his speaking. We pray for the people here at this local church, Lord, that you would use your word that it would be effective in our lives. Thank you for your word that's powerful, that it meets the needs, that we might honor and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 16. Start reading verse 13, Matthew 16, 13. Sorry. Mrs. Raybert, would you buy me a watch? I'll pay you for it. I'll reimburse you. Matthew 16, 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Following along in your lessons, what we believe about the church must come from God's word. The Bible is our sole authority for all matters of faith and practice. God's word is the answer. God's word is the final authority. It's the final answer of all things in our lives in the New Testament church. The word church is significant in the Bible because it never used to refer to a denomination or a national church. The Bible teaches us that every church is directly accountable to God. A simple definition of a local church is a group of baptized believers who have voluntarily joined themselves together to carry out the Great Commission. A group of baptized believers who have voluntarily joined themselves together to carry out the Great Commission. The purpose for you and I is to glorify God. And one way we do that is by proclaiming God's word, evangelizing the world, our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. Evangelism, personal evangelism, us going out, us rubbing shoulders in our jobs, in the supermarket, and taking that opportunity to say, as we saw in our previous lessons, "Have you ever accepted Christ as your Savior? No? May I show you from God's word how you can do that?" Notice what the Lord Jesus said concerning the church in Matthew 16, 13 through 18. Christ said, "I will build my church." The church has many enemies and critics, but Christ is building his church. You and I have one responsibility, and that is to be obedient to the Lord. To be obedient to the Lord. When I say obedient to the Lord, I'm saying that we're obedient to his word, because this is how he speaks to us. And then he speaks to us that still small voice inside. But that we're obedient to him. We're obedient to him when he commands us to hide his word in our heart. We're obedient to him when he commands us to read, when he commands us to live a holy life. Obedient to the Lord. As we obey the Lord, he will build his church. As we obey the Lord, he will build his church. We won't build his church. He won't build our church. He will build his church. He will build his church. The Lord is doing his work in the world through local churches. You and I can serve the Lord today in this local work, in God's church, by finding our place, our individual place of service in this ministry. Each one of us, it's a job for us to do in this God's church, in this local church. You need to find out what that is for you and do it. And as Pastor has said, Colossians 1:10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Some of us, we do this or we do that, and you know, that seems to be us, but then we don't make sure we're following up with the other things, with the prayer life, with the Bible reading, with the scripture memorization, with the evangelizing. And some of those things just don't seem to be our specialty. We need to take opportunity. This here, this is God's church. This is where God has myself and you, and this is where we're to serve Him. You need to find your place of service in this God's church. The first century church started with Christ and His disciples and was empowered at Pentecost. Empowered at Pentecost. We look in the Bible at the first century church to learn some basic things concerning the local church. Christ started the church with His disciples. Consider Matthew 16:13-18. The Lord gave the Great Commission and ordinances to the church, not simply to a group of followers. He gave these ordinances to the church. So the first century church started with Christ and His disciples and was empowered at Pentecost. Okay? Secondly, the first century church had a saved membership. Acts 2:41. In fact, Kelly, would you look up Acts 2:41? Dan Priori, look up Colossians 1:18. Sam, 1 Timothy 3:15. Andrew, Acts 13:1-4. Sean, Acts 1:8.